Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And when you talk about mining the Bible for all its wealth, I am trying to do that by anticipating questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And we do it at the Christian Research Institute by answering the questions that people have with respect to the Scriptures. But we can never come to an end of the treasure that is encapsulated in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, you have treasures that were very much appreciated by the children of Israel. And so when the law was being read, or I should say more correctly, when the first five books of the Old Testament were being read, when the Torah was being read, people would stand up, because there was a respect for the Word of God. In fact, the very Word God was so respected that it couldn't be pronounced. And I won't get into this right now, but you had the unspeakable four letters, the Tetragrammaton. Again, the point I'm making is that there is enormous respect for the Word of God. And so, because the church is not innovative, it is seeking to perpetuate a New Testament Christians, we ourselves, whenever the Gospels are being read, we stand. And so, in a sense, as I'm reading through the Gospel of St. Matthew, if you're not standing, at least in your heart, you should be reverencing God. Because again, these are not just words on a page written by men. They are written by men, but men who are moved by the Holy Spirit. Well, we, in working our way through St. Matthew's Gospel, talked about the return from exile in Egypt of Joseph and Mary and Jesus. And now we're going to talk about the baptism that takes place in the wilderness, the baptism that is precipitated by the apostle who is a prophet and who is a priest, who is John the Baptist, one of the most important characters in all of Scripture, because he is the way shower. He is the one who prepares the way for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the ministry that is going to redeem not only people, but all of creation itself. So chapter 3 of St. Matthew's Gospel begins with these words. And I'll read through it, and then we'll go back and we'll highlight some of the things that are being said here in chapter 3, a beautiful chapter sandwiched again between the return from exile and what is going to come later on in chapter 4 with the temptation of Jesus in the desert. And then later on, we're going to get into the Beatitudes and one of the, if not the most important sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. I actually took the time a number of years ago to memorize this sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But that's coming up later on in future broadcasts. Right now, Let's focus and stand in our hearts at least as we read from Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and then saying as he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. Are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, that it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 3 starts with one of the most profound, poignant, and important words in all of the Christian faith, and that is repent. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Now, repentance is a complete turn on the road of life. It is, as it were, turning and heading in a completely different direction. No longer living for the city of man, but focused now on the city of God. That is our destination in repentance. And repentance is something that happens to everyone who becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. They have a complete change of heart, a complete change of mind, a complete change of the will. They turn and they follow Jesus Christ. They accept the precepts and the principles of the kingdom. They are transformed through repentance. When I come back from the break, I want to also talk a little bit about how repentance goes hand in hand with confession. Every single day when I pray, I confess my sins, knowing that He is faithful and just, will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Confession of sins has actually fallen upon hard times in the Christian church today. We have winds and waves sweeping through the church, and a lot of people think that if you're confessing your sins, that you do that as a mockery of God, that it is tantamount to cheapening God's unmerited favor, or worse, mocking God. Of course, nothing could be farther from the truth. We'll be talking about all of that and much more as we go through Matthew chapter 3. This is an incredible chapter of the Bible. Every single verse and every word is important. We will not exhaust them. This is something that you ought to spend your lifetime seeking to do. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please do not touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Do you want to live a visionary life of purpose and meaning? Do you want to live in Christ with a sense of purpose and peace? Most of us will answer yes. And yet, rather than soaring to spiritual heights, we often remain grounded, emotionally and spiritually stuck in our harmful habits and attitudes, finding ourselves repeatedly wingless and unable to take flight. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and wife a psychologist, Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan, is a path to personal renewal needed by many in this moment. To receive your copy of Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan by Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Just before we went to break, I was talking about the importance of baptism. Of course, John the Baptist was baptizing people. And all of Judea and Jerusalem and the region of the Jordan came to be baptized by John. When we're baptized, we confess our sins and we make a U-turn on the road of life. And as I was saying just before the break, baptism has fallen on hard times just as confession has. Baptism oftentimes in the church is no longer seen as a sacrament, and I might talk about that a little later on. Confession of sins is oftentimes seen as being tantamount to cheapening God's unmerited favor, or worse, actually mocking God. Private interpretations in this regard are simply stunning. There are Christian leaders who deem confession to be a Gnostic heresy. There are others who demean it as counterproductive to a healthy Christian life. And this in face of the Apostle John, who urged his dear children in the faith, those who have been forgiven on account of Christ, to continually confess their sins. Or the Apostle James, who exhorts believers to confess their sins to one another and to God. Every single day when I pray, I make confession a part of my prayer. And so often, as I've mentioned many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I in my prayer go through Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. And I actually go through the entirety of that psalm, which reminds us that God does not desire sacrifice, because if he did, we could bring it. What are the sacrifices of God? They're a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Well, we'll talk more about confession and baptism in a little bit, but right now in this broadcast, I want to focus on what is happening here, as St. Matthew says with respect to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, so John the Baptist was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, according to St. Matthew's gospel. Isaiah said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So in the Old Testament, you have Isaiah making a prophecy fulfilled in the New Testament, in the coming of John the Baptist and his preaching of repentance. This passage is very, very precious to me on so many different levels, including the fact that Isaiah was a prophet ordained by God to do the unthinkable, to do what no pretender could ever do. Isaiah, in fact, was able to prophesy the coming of a king named Cyrus. This would be a powerful king, a king who combined the empires of the Persians and the Medes and changed human history. Generations before Cyrus the Great appeared on the stage of history, here you have the prophet Isaiah prophetically speaking, and again, doing what no one else could do. Before Cyrus was born, Cyrus was named by the prophet. Here you have, again, Isaiah prophesying in the 8th century, and he's predicting the coming of Cyrus in the 6th century. And by the way, if you want to read about that in the Old Testament, go to Isaiah chapter 44. And Cyrus, when he discovered that this was God foretelling the future ahead of time through the prophet Isaiah, was deeply impacted, because he now sees the reality that Israel's God knows precisely what's going to happen in the future. That Israel's God predicted that he had been designated by name long before he was even formed in his mother's womb. That he had been commissioned to be the agent by which the holy temple would be reestablished in Jerusalem. In fact, this is precisely how the man Josephus, who was a Jew, writing to please the Romans, put it. He's talking about what happened with Cyrus, that he had been prophetically designated by name long before he was formed in his mother's womb. And Cyrus knew that from reading Isaiah's prophecies given 210 years earlier, writes Josephus. And Cyrus marveled at the divine power, and he was controlled, therefore, by desire to fulfill what was written. Gathering the most distinguished Jews in Babylon, Cyrus told them that he would permit them to return to their native land and rebuild Jerusalem and their temple. He would be their ally and would write his satraps and governors near Judea to contribute gold and silver for the building of the temple. So this is a highlight in all of Scripture. You have a temple that is manifestly destroyed, and you have the prophets that are seeing that in the future it is going to be rebuilt by Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah. And then you also have the prophets predicting who would make this possible, who would be the facilitator of all of this. So again, there's so much packed into this, but I want you to have a sense of how precious the Word of God is. Modern-day prophets and seers, they pretend they can know the future. But God does know the future, and true prophets of God were able to foretell the future, therefore demonstrating that what we have in the Bible is indeed the Word of God. And of course, John himself, as I said in the first segment of this broadcast, was a prophet, and he was clothed, as the text says, in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. This was not a man who was used to the niceties of life. But all Jerusalem and Judea and the region around the Jordan went out to see him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So something really incredible was going on, because everyone, so to speak, was going out. It's like if a great basketball team comes to town and the whole city goes out to see the basketball team. Doesn't mean that everybody in the city actually goes out to see it, but it shows the significance of what is going on, and the significance is highlighted here by St. Matthew as well. In fact, John the Baptist sees many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, and he knows they're not there for the right reason. Something's going on. They want to be in on it. And John the Baptist says to them, speaking of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. So this is not just an act. It's not an initiation rite. This, again, is a complete turn that comes with action. It comes with a change of life. Fruits worthy of repentance. We're going to pick this up next time. I didn't get as far as I wanted to in this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but we'll pick this up next time. And again, I'm whetting your appetite. That's all I'm doing. You can glean riches from the Word of God that I've sort of skipped over quickly. Hopefully I'm whetting your appetite for the majestic, infallible repository of redemptive revelation that changes us when we commit ourselves to its magnificence. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.